Let's turn in our scriptures today to Galatians chapter 6 is where we are. Galatians chapter 6. And we're going to look at the first 5 verses today of Galatians 6. And this is an area of scripture that actually has an apparent Bible contradiction within 5 verses. And we want to look at this deeply today and see that it's not a contradiction, it's God bringing two ideas together. And it's so neat the way he does this with apparent contradictions in the Bible. He brings it to sharpen what he's really wanting to say and to give us good definition. And so that's exciting. Well, the apparent contradictions, if you look at verse 2 of Galatians 6, it says, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." And then in verse 5, it says, "For every man shall bear his own burden." And so you look at that and you think there might be a thought that goes through your mind, well, how to bring those two together? But it's wonderful the way God does that. And so we want to start then with this study today in chapter 6, verse 1, where it says, "Brothers, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness," another translation, humility, another translation, gentleness, "considering or looking at yourself, lest you also be tempted." Now, this is a verse that's packed with good information, and we want to look at some of these things individually. Overtaken. Here we have this word overtaken. If a man be overtaken in a fault. Now this can mean two things. Someone that's caught in the act of sin, like the adulterous woman. She was caught in the act, the Bible says, and brought to Jesus. And then the other idea would be caught in the trap of sin. In other words, have fallen into a bondage to something that has gotten hold of a person's life. If that happens, for instance, alcoholism, which we all know can become very addictive, and we could go on and on about that. So if we do have a person in our lives that's been overtaken in a fault, it says here, "you which are spiritual." Now this would go right back to chapter 5 and verse 25 in Galatians. If you just look back there with me, it's just like 3 verses up from where you are. And it says, if we live in the Spirit, we've been saved, we've been born again, we've asked Jesus Christ into our lives, we become alive, spiritually alive. And the Holy Spirit is, our bodies become that temple of the Holy Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God lives right inside of us, glorifying Jesus Christ as we go. And so it goes on to say in verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And that's what we talked about last week, that very basically letting us know that walking in the Spirit is simply in the morning you say, "Jesus, fill me again for this day. Help me to have the right actions and reactions, and Lord, help me to handle surprises well." And then we get up out of bed and we begin to walk, and we go through our day, and as we send up the arrow prayers during the day, "Lord, what do I do now?" See, we're walking in the Spirit. We're walking in the Lord. And that's definition of you that are spiritual in verse 1 of chapter 6. If a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual or walking in the Spirit, restore such a one. Restore. Now, this word restore, literally from the Greek, is to repair or to mend, as a dislocated limb. And that's from some commentary I read. And I like that idea, to think of someone that has been caught in sin or is captive to sin, is they have a dislocated body part, because if they're part of the body of Christ, that is a great analogy, isn't it? And so we want to go in the spirit of repair, to restore, to mend. And so if we have that Spirit of Christ in us, that's what he came to do. "I came not to judge the world," said he, but that the world through me might be saved. And so that's his ministry, and that's what he does when he fills us, is to repair and to mend. We don't want to be a sin sniffer, trying to sniff out sin, or a flesh finder. I've found flesh in you, bro. We want to be a person that's in the spirit of repair, the spirit of repairing or mending. And because that's where our Jesus is, we want to walk in the spirit. That's why he says, you that are spiritual, we can't do this without him. That's too much compassion for us. There's some things we just can't handle, and we just want to, you know, turn around and walk the other way, and, you know, you're just a bozo, and I'm not going to bozo around with you, kind of thing. But we want to just have a spirit of repair and to mend. And this is what Jesus wants from us. So you that are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, humility, gentleness. Romans chapter 2. It is the kindness of the Lord that brings us to repentance. Remember the way you were saved? Remember the way that you were brought out of sin? You found the loving Jesus Christ that forgave all your sin in a moment. As you just open your heart to him and the tears begin to flow, the kindness of God, the grace of God overwhelms you. And so that's what God wants to do through you, is to bring that grace of God to others that need restoration, refreshing restoration from the presence of the Lord. And so you that are spiritual, restore, mend, repair such a one in the spirit of meekness or gentleness. And I wanted to talk to you a little bit about this spirit of meekness or gentleness. There's a really rough, tough contractor that I know very well, good friend. And he was sharing with me the other night. And he just said, I was blessed with how he was treating his wife, and I told him that. And he said, you know, a little bit into our marriage, I was a terrible, terrible man. He says, I would bark at my wife. That's the way he put it. And he would bark at his employees. And he just was telling me that. And he said his wife even got close to leaving him because she couldn't handle that anymore, the barking, all the time the barking, the verbal abuse and so forth. And she just told me, you need to change. And you know what he said then? I love it. You know, strong man, decisive. He just said, I changed, man. And so we've been married 40 years now. You know, I changed. She said, change. I changed. And there it is. And so when we read these things, sometimes we just have to make a decision. You know what? I'm going to be gentle. I'm going to give a soft answer instead of roaring back with great, terrible, fierce anger. Proverbs 15, verse 1. A soft answer turns away wrath, and that works. That works. And so the exhortation that's there about that. One of our favorite movie stars, who is now with the Lord, he only lived 23 years. His name is Bart, and he's a bear. And I hope he's in heaven with the Lord, because I do believe animals go to heaven. I do believe that, and that's a whole sermon. But anyway, Bart the bear. And we first met him in the movie The Bear, and this was a while back. I think it was a Disney movie, he's the biggest bear I ever did see. And we looked up the statistics on him on the internet. He's 9'6" tall when he stands up. This is one big honking bear, and he weighs 1,500 pounds. 1,500 pounds, big guy. And so anyway, he's in this movie, and there's a guy chasing him with a gun. You don't chase Bart with a gun. And so anyway, this guy's coming up a cliff, because he saw the bear up there, and he's coming up the cliff, and the music gets like something's about ready to happen. You know, when, and so he's sneaking up this cliff, and he comes around the corner, and there's Bart on the other side of the cliff, right in his face. And Bart's mouth goes open, and it's like this. I don't think that's an exaggeration. And you know, his jaw's pretty skinny than you would think. It's a bear with a big snoot. And so it's got these big jaws open like this, and this earth-shattering growl comes out of Bart's mouth. And he goes up on the legs, 9 feet 6 inches, looking down at this guy standing in front of him on the edge of a cliff. So the guy's knees go weak, and he begins to shake. And he's got his gun like this, you know, and he's getting this big mouth growl. And he drops his gun on the ground and hangs his head and just like this, you know. And it's neat because right away they make Bart the hero, that Bart just looks at him and feels sorry for him and walks away. And so the guy, you know, is just, he's beginning to learn. He's learning here, you know, don't shoot Bart. And so anyway, we're real curious about that. We're thinking, how in the world do you get a bear that mad to look that scary and sound that loud right in front of a human being, not worried about what's going to happen to the guy, you know? And we found out that his trainer was able to train him on command to just open his mouth. And that's all that was happening there. He saw the guy and he just went. And then they put in this growl, you know, this Darth Vader earth-shattering growl. I don't want to do it really because I won't be able to preach the rest of the sermon after. It was just something else. But then we looked up the trainer. And if you get on your iPhones, iPods, and your whatever you have, you can, you know, punch in the bear, and you'll see a picture of the trainer and the bear in a big bear hug. And the trainer's just laughing, and the bear is hanging his huge head. I mean, the head is like three heads, hanging over the trainer and just licking his hand. Bart is so gentle. In fact, he's so gentle in this last movie, The Edge. Sherry and I have edited version of The Edge. There's some bad things in there. But anyway, Bart was one of the stars of The Edge, along with Anthony Hopkins and the other famous guy that I forget right now. But anyway, Bart actually, because it rains in Alaska a lot, was shot in Alaska, they had a canopy for him when it would rain to take care of poor Bart. And then also a blow dryer to get him ready for the scenes. He's got beautiful long red hair, and so they would blow dry his hair to get ready to come out and go. And so it just kind of tickled me, and began to realize that this, he was trained with gentleness. You have to be gentle with a bear, a big bear like that. And so the trainer trained him how to calm down. Because Bart, being big and being playful and actually loving his trainer, would sometimes get a little rough. Now, you know, it would be hard to get if Hulk Hogan got rough with you, but quite a bit harder if Bart would get rough with you, if you can imagine those paws, you know. And so the trainer had a saying that he would calm Bart down with: easy kisses, easy kisses. And Bart would calm way down. He was training him gently and really doing a great job to get some results here. And you know, I just started thinking about Bart because, you know, sometimes you wives might want to train your beast and your husbands by just saying easy kisses. Let's calm down here. And to take that kind of route instead of the screaming thing that goes on. Let me show you this in the scripture. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Now it says this, and this is something that doesn't seem natural, and to the flesh I'd probably be impossible, but with the Spirit of God, and the idea to bring your rebukes in gentleness and with meekness or humility is right here. You wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, all of a sudden, husband is getting away from God's word. How do you deal with this? Well, just like the trainer of Bart dealt with it, they also may, without the word, be won by the behavior of the wives. Actually, in watching the wife and the love that she has for him is the way to go with it. While they behold your chaste, and chaste meaning just a tender-hearted type of thing, chaste manner of living. The King James says conversation, but it actually better translated manner of living, coupled with respect for the husband. And so that's the way to do it. This is what God lays out. And it is tempting not to do it that way, but it's the only way that really works. And that's the thing. I had a lady call me years ago on the phone. She said, my husband is a creep. He's terrible. He's awful. And I would do anything to see him change. And I said, would you do anything? She said, yes. And I asked her twice, would you do anything? Yes. I asked her the third time. I said, are you sure you would do anything to see him change? Yes. And I read her this verse, and she said, I'll do anything but that. This really happened. That's a true story. And of course, the devil wants you to do anything that won't work. And this is what works, you know? And so this is the way to go with it. I've told this testimony many times, but maybe some of you haven't heard it. I read an article on this very thing years ago about a lady that had been praying for her husband to get saved for 20 years. And she was so frustrated with the whole scene. And so she went to a pastor to ask about it. And he, of course, went to 1 Peter 3, 1 and 2. And the idea was this, is, you know, the husband was really thinking of Jesus as the other man. Where are you going today, church? Oh, you're going to go see Jesus again. And all of a sudden, a bitterness started developing, see, in this man's life, against Jesus because he was the other man in his wife's life. And he wanted her to stay home with him. And so what the pastor recommended for her was that she find out the thing that he loves the most and do it for him in the name of Jesus. And so she knew what that was immediately because this guy got up at 4 a.m. every morning to go to work. But he loved his coffee in the morning before he went to work, and he had let her know years before that he would appreciate if maybe she could join him in the morning, which was something big to ask, I mean, 4 a.m. But she knew what it was, and so she got up at 3 the next morning, and she went down and started making his coffee. And he wakes up to the smell of fresh brew, you know. He's going, you know, what is going on here? And by the way, where's my wife? She's gone. But she comes up the stairs with fresh coffee and tells him that Jesus shared with her heart to bring him his coffee. He was saved in a week. This is how the story goes. Now, that can't be a guarantee for all of us, but just this is what happened. This is a testimony. And it just is really doing this verse, isn't it? It's just opposing and yelling and trying to actually nag. I'll use that word, nag. You know, it's kind of a bad word, but nag. he can be won without the word, without a word, see. And the way God does it is through this support system, through this gentleness and kindness, the same way God saves you. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. So the same thing that Jesus did for you and I, if we can pass that on, if we can be spiritual, you that are spiritual, you that want to walk with Jesus Christ, then we take these words seriously and we practice them as hard as we can, asking God for help because we're walking with him and sending up the arrow prayers to do it right. Because that's what works. And so a beautiful thing to see in the Word. Okay, well, let's go on back here. We're in 1 Peter. We want to go back to Galatians. And look at some more words in verse 1 here. Galatians chapter 6. Yeah, chapter 6. And so we just looked at gentleness. Now, considering yourself at the end of that verse. Brothers, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness or gentleness or humility. Considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Now, this is a strong word. We must consider ourselves if we at all feel like holier than thou. And by the way, that's a clause from the Bible. I didn't know that. I thought that was made up by somebody, a non-believer somewhere walking along thinking, oh, these people are holier than thou. But it's actually in the Bible. And I believe it's the prophet Isaiah that talks about we don't want to be holier than thou. That is puffed up or prideful or standing over someone that has fallen or sinning or whatever and begin to just bark at them and hit them over the head with a large, large King James Bible. You know, that you go nowhere with that because that just makes them more defensive and the fights go on. So considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Now, this word considering, it is the Greek form of this word and this idea is that as a strongly emphasizes a continual, diligent attentiveness of considering myself, really looking hard at my own life. Am I so great that I can be so barky and so mean and so unforgiving about what I should do in this situation? No. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so we have to be attentive and really looking hard at our and considering ourselves, lest we also fall to the same thing or the same kind of thing, lest you also be tempted. Because we're told, Romans chapter 2, you that judge somebody else, you do the same things. Because all of us are in the same boat. And I think sometimes we're harder on people about stuff that we have problems with. And so we have to stop in the name of love, in the name of spirituality, you that are spiritual, to do it right and to get the word from God on how to best approach the situation. When one of my sons was real young, he was like fifth grade, he marched up to me and he said, Dad, he said, I know you believe in God and you teach the Bible and all, but you know what? I'm just not going to go that way. And my immediate reaction was to shake him until his head got straight, you know? I mean, I felt it go through my body, you know? But the Lord, you know, this is going to go nowhere real fast. You've got to be patient and you've got to wait on me about this situation. And so I kept my arms to my sides and I gently said, I forget what I said. It was probably something like, this can't be happening. I don't know. No. But just saying, okay. Just let him speak and give him space. And so just a few months later, maybe even less, we went to Froster's Freeze to get ice cream with the family. And he stayed in the car. He's just kind of in this, you know, you're you and I'm me thing. You getting out, so I'm going to stay here, you know, kind of thing. So he's in the car. And there was this punker girl, quite a bit older than him. He's, I don't know, 8 years old or something. She was like 15. And the Lord led me to witness to her. So I said to her, you know, Jesus really loves you and has a plan for your life. And she said, don't talk to me about Jesus. My mother goes to Melody Land, and she's always on my case. And she starts going on in my face. You know, I was getting a little embarrassed, you know, in line for Froster's Freeze. And this girl's bawling me out. Then my son jumps out of the car and stands next to her, looking at me and looking at her and saying, my dad does the same thing to me. So now I got an army standing against me, you know. I felt like, you know, Bozo the Clown with a big red nose on. And you know what happened next? It was beautiful because it was God's plan. Put it in God's hands. Just let the gentleness be. And that girl felt sorry for me. She looked at the withering dad, you know, melting into the ground. And she turned to my son and said, "You ought to listen to your father. And I ought to listen to my mother. Right now I'm in rebellion against my mom. But God is real, and God loves both of us." Hallelujah. From that time on, he never said anything like that to me again, and continued in the Lord from that time. And so God did what God does, and God does it a lot better than you do it. And you ain't the judge, right? One day we're going to say, "Here comes the judge." Because the Lord is the judge. And what he has given to us an example through Jesus Christ our Lord is that Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him would be saved. And that's our job. And right here, if we see a man in fault, we need to restore them in the spirit of meekness, considering ourselves. Where were we? Where are we sometimes? Lest you be tempted also. And so that's the exhortation, and that is the beauty of it. I'd like to go ahead and also include verse 3 in this, for it says this, and it's kind of a brings us up short about holier than thou. It says in verse 3, "For if a man thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself." Without Jesus, we're nothing. And with him, we have all the strength and power of God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The through Christ is most important right there. So if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. I remember the story, and I can't remember what famous evangelist it was. I think it's Dwight Moody. But walking down the street with a friend, and they see a drunk in the gutter, and the man says to Dwight Moody, probably didn't have anything else to say, so he just says, "Look at the drunk here in the street." And Dwight Moody turned to him and said, "There, but for the grace of God, go I." Boy, that's a neat, humble thought, isn't it? "There, but for the grace of God, go I." So our attitude then becomes an attitude of repair, mend, and with gentleness or meekness. And so that's where we should be on that. Now, verse 2. Let's look at verse 2. It says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Now, the law of Christ is that we should love one another as he has loved us. That's what he said to us. And also, we've been looking at a lot the second command, the second great command, love your neighbor as yourself. So we should bear, and this isn't Bart, this isn't that kind of bear, right? But bear ye one another's burdens. The word bear there connotes carrying something with endurance. The Greek word connotes bearing something with endurance. That I decide that I'm going to endure with someone to help them carry their burden. And of course, the natural thing in the flesh is you see trouble and strife or whatever, you just make an about face and get out of there until it's over. But the Lord, he wants to go in and help as much as he can to bear somebody else's burden. The Lord Jesus Christ bore our burden all the way to the cross, to take our sins and our infirmities, our fears, all everything that was ever wrong with us, and die in our place on the cross to take it away. So he bears our burdens. He certainly is an example. And we are to go ahead, bear with endurance. And sometimes that means just with the person themselves, that they're in an ugly place. And the scripture tells us in Ephesians 5:1, to actually forbear one another in love. And that means to be putting up with something that's not easy to put up with, to actually go that route and carry that burden with them and try to help them through as much as lies within you and that God would anoint you to do. Now, this is spoken of also in the book of Romans. I think you probably noticed so far, this is the first time I've ever really noticed this, is going through Galatians this time. So parallel to the book of Romans. Have you noticed that yet? We've gone back to the book of Romans almost every week because there's things that are parallel in Romans. Well, the same is true about this verse. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Let's go to Romans chapter 15. Now you go back to 2 Corinthians and 1 Corinthians and then back to Romans chapter 15 and verse 1. It says this in Romans 15:1. We then that are strong, that is spiritually strong, ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. So that tells us right there, that clause, not to please ourselves, that this many times is not going to be pleasing to us. We'll be anointed by God, we'll have an abiding joy all the time in Jesus as we're walking in Him. But this will not please the flesh. You have to go out of your way to actually carry a burden with endurance for however long God calls you to do that. And so this is what we ought to do. You that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up, to edification, to build that person up. For even Christ pleased not himself. And here we have now the example of our Savior. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. Now this is a prayer of the God the Son praying to God the Father. The reproaches of them, all the blame and ugliness of them that reproached you, Father, the sins that we've all done against the Father, fell on Jesus, fell on me. And so he was not pleasing himself. Remember in the garden, he sweat great drops of blood, and he said, Father, if there's any other way, this whole deal of salvation can be worked out. It's just a side note. Let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And he went to the cross despising the shame. He despised it. He despised the shame of it because of the joy that was set before him, you and I, because his love was so great for us. And so the reproaches of them that reproached thee, Father, fell on me. Christ pleased not himself. And so there'll be times like that for you and I as Christians, where, and we'll be finding out, it is more blessed to give than to receive. To bear with someone, to forbear in love, to wait until things can work out and not get so barky, but looking to give a soft answer and doing it with humility and, what's the other word we're looking at? Gentleness, gentleness. And so there it is, pictured in our Savior. What a blessing. Did you know that even Jesus needed help with his burden? Jesus actually got so tired. He was crucified in weakness, the Bible says, raised by the power of God. He was a man, just like you and I. And he got tired, so tired that he couldn't carry his cross up the hill. He dropped it. He just couldn't do it. He had no strength left to carry that cross. And so what happened? Simon of Cyrene, a wonderful man that became a Christian later, actually picked up the cross of Jesus Christ and lugged it up the hill for him. That is something he could do to help bear the burden of Christ. There's no way that Simon or any of us could ever bear the spiritual part. Absolutely no way. But the physical part, he was able to help the Lord in that way. And so even Jesus experienced this of having his burden shared. And so praise God for that and some part of it. Now, this brings us then to the idea of everyone has to bear their own burden in one way, shape, or another. There are certain things that you will face, just like nobody could die for your sins except Jesus, because he was the only qualified one. He was the only sinless person. Simon could not do that for us, or even help in it. But that brings us, of course, to these last verses. So let's go back to Galatians and chapter 6, verses 4 and 5, and take a look at this whole idea. Now, in Galatians 6, 4 and 5, it says, but, and so we're changing ideas here. Actually, that we're supposed to bear one another's burdens, but there's some burdens that only you can bear yourself. And, of course, with the help of the Lord, he's never discluded, for he will never leave us nor forsake us. Cast your cares upon him, because he cares for you. And I love that. But it says, but let every man prove or test his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. God wants to work certain things out with you alone. No one can help you. No human being on this earth. We're all different. And wives and husbands are really different. Husbands are from Mars. And wives are from Venus. So in that situation, sometimes you really see it. Because we're naturally made different. And so there's some things you got to go through alone. It's just you and the Lord. Now, never without the Lord, because he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So this rejoicing that begins in your heart, he shall have rejoicing in himself. That's where Jesus lives, inside you. Because you've asked Jesus to come into your heart, and there he is right there in your heart. And so as you're rejoicing inside yourself, you're rejoicing with the everlasting God who makes his home in your heart. And let me show you scripture on that, 2 Corinthians 10:17. So we go back just one book to 2 Corinthians 10:17. He that glories, let him glory in the Lord. Inside himself, where Jesus lives. For he that glories, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commends himself, builds himself up, or gets into the holier than thou or the prideful position, is approved, but whom the Lord commends is the one that's approved. And so we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he exalts us in due time. And the exaltation, you can't help it. You're blessed, you're moved, you're thankful. But it's always in the Lord. He that glories, let him glory in the Lord. Something to always, always remember when we talk about this kind of thing. So turn back now to Galatians 5 as we finish the idea here. So let every man test his own work, and then he shall have rejoicing in himself alone with the Lord, and not in another, referring to other men or women that have helped him. For every man shall bear his own burden. And so we see this burden that was Christ to carry alone. Now, neat thing, even Jesus had the wonderful help of the Father, because even though Jesus is God, the second person of the Godhead, remember when he was talking to the disciples before he was arrested, and he told them, he said, I'm going to be arrested. And you're all going to run from me and kind of disown me in a way. And I will be alone. But then he said, and right at the end of that verse, he said, but I won't be alone because the Father is with me. The Father is with me. There was only one point for a moment when all the sin of the world was laid upon Jesus Christ, that Jesus was not having the full attention of the Father. Remember, from the cross and prophetically in Psalm 22:1, he cried out and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And God said to us, I will never leave you nor forsake you. But to Jesus, there was a sort of forsaking going on, because God couldn't look on sin, and sin, all of our sin, past, present, and future, was laid on him. And he felt it in the spirit. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And just the agony of that. He went through that for you. You have never been forsaken by God, and you never will be, because of what he did and the forsaking that happened to him. He was smitten of God on that cross, that you wouldn't ever have to feel that. Praise God for that. And Jesus was glad to do that for us, for the joy that was set before him, as we mentioned before. And so this is a picture and reality of what God has done to help us bear our burdens. He's there for us. And he really appreciates, I think, that time of being the only one that can help you. He's the only one. He's the only one that has the power and the qualifications to help you out of that which has taken you. And it is precious when you are helped of God and then can help others with the same help you've received as we go on in life. I'm really excited about a new book that's coming out next month. It's by Billy Graham. And Billy's 93 years old now, and he has Parkinson's disease. And what he has said about this book is, I've heard all my life how to die. He says, and I'm good with that. But nobody ever taught me how to get old. Yeah. And man, he wrote a book. I can't wait. I'm going to be waiting at the bookstore about this one, because he talks about the things that we have to face alone. Loneliness is one of them, the first one on the list that he had written in his little article about the book. Loneliness, how to lose a soulmate, how to suffer with infirmities you've never faced in your life before as your body is shutting down, and those kinds of things. And I like this. It's good. And it kind of makes the point of, there's burdens that we have to face that only we are facing them. And God wants to help. And thank God for Billy Graham being moved by the Spirit. Billy's not turning over and saying, I'm done. He's going, Lord, what do you want me to do now, because I'm still alive? You know? And of course, number one on his list, and these are just little reviews from the book, is prayer. You can always pray. Seek the Lord. Ask God to just help folks that you love. Watch over them. The effectual prayers of a righteous man, yeah, mean a lot to God. I probably said that wrong, so help me with that. The fervent prayers of a righteous man avail much. Amen. I believe that. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Yeah, and you can do that just from your heart. Man, if you got a sickness when you're really, really old, you can't even move anything. You can't even move your lips. You say, Jesus, help people, you know? I mean, you can do that, and I don't mean to be flippant about it, you know, but it's the truth of it. And so, God's good. All the time? Let's pray together, and the band will come out, and we'll worship the Lord. Father, thank you so very much, Lord God, that you help us with our burdens. And Lord, thank you that when we're doing our burdens alone, the ones we have to face by ourselves, Lord, you're there, and you'll always be there. And thank you, Lord, we can cast our cares upon you. And let's take a moment now of silent prayer, that you might have some burdens you want to cast unto the Lord right now. Things that you might be finding yourself facing alone, and things that are just beating upon you. And so let's take some time to just let the Lord take them. Let the Lord minister and bring comfort. Let's do that. So thank you, Father, for seeing each heart. Lord, thank you that it was expedient, it is expedient that you went away so you could send back the Holy Spirit that could listen to every prayer and every heart right here in this building today at the same time. Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit that's everywhere with everyone, living in every heart that has asked you in, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And Father, we pray, Lord, that you would anoint us to recognize when you want us to forbear and to have patience and to help bear another person's burden with endurance. So thank you, Father. We're looking to you for your help. We certainly do need it. Lord, we realize and understand that you're God and you're the one that holds the power. So thank you, Lord, for giving us power every hour. Lord, help us with these things. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 If you don't know Jesus Christ yet as your Savior, we'd sure love to give you that opportunity today. You can come right to the prayer room here, and Brian's going to open the door for you. And Jerry will be in there and others to pray with you to receive Jesus as your Savior. And if you need prayer for anything else, feel free to hang out and pray with somebody and come to the prayer room. May the Lord bless you. May God just continue to lead you and sanctify you, bring you closer and closer to knowing him in a deep, rich way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen.